Today is Tuesday, August the 29th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You are listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
And you guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online, leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a link in the description so you can do just that. And today's verse of the day is coming to us from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven.
So I need to hide every good thing that I do, like a ninja.
Do it like in the sewers almost. Like do it like Team Rocket.
Undercover of night.
Team Rocket style, where you do a good deed and then you watch like Batman from the rooftop.
Oh, see, really, I was just going to say, I'm going to put on a cow like Batman, so my identity is hidden.
Yeah,
of course, what this verse is saying is, you know, check your motivation. It's not a bad thing if people see you doing something good, but is that why you're doing the good thing? That's why is it that you're going out of your way to help someone? Why are you showing the love of Christ? Is it so that you can be obedient to God and the life that he's called you to live as a believer, and so that you can extend his love to other people? Then great.
Yeah.
But if it's so you can receive praise from other people, then you got your reward. That's it.
That's right. You know, spiritual leaders, there's lots of advantages from your people seeing you do good deeds, and because it builds loyalty, it builds support, it builds trust. So it's not like you have to do everything in secret. It's saying that understand what's your reward, what's your motivation? Because it says otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. There'll come a point where God is like, hey, listen, you got your reward for that good deed. I'm not going to give you my grace. I'm not going to give you your blessings for that because you already got what you were.
Yeah, you weren't after that in the first place.
Yeah, we're square, and I don't want to get to a place where I'm square with God.
No. Oh, goodness, no. Well, on today's episode, Dr. Shah is, of course, back with us. We are so excited to have him back, both here in the studio and here, period, in general. But we're going to continue talking about his time over in India with his mom's passing and the events surrounding that. If you guys have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, my name's Ellie.
And I'm David.
And we want to take a minute and let you know how we can actually serve you as you're listening to Clearview Today.
The Bible paints an extraordinary picture of who we are as a church body. The mission of Clearview Church is to lead all people into a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. A huge part of leading people is praying for them. A big reason that Christians have unanswered prayers in their life is because they're not praying.
You know, 1 John 5:15 says, "And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." If you're listening to the Clearview Today show, we want to know how we can pray for you as well.
There's a number of ways that you can get in touch with us at Clearview and share your prayer request, but the best way is by texting us at 252-582-5028. You can also send us an email at prayer@clearviewbc.org, or you can download the Clearview app on iTunes or Google Play. You know, on that app, there's a dedicated prayer wall that helps us to get to know what's going on in your life, how we can pray for you, and how we can take any necessary steps to get you moving in the right direction.
Thanks for listening. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right. If today's your first time ever joining us on the Clearview Today Show, we want to welcome you, let you know exactly who's talking to you today. Dr. Abhidhan Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website. That's abhidhanshah.com.
That's right, Dr. Shah. We are continuing on today's episode to talk about your mom and kind of her impact and her legacy with the recent, maybe if you're tuning in for the first time, Dr. Shah's mom unfortunately recently passed away. And, you know, we're spending some time on the show just devoted to her life and her impact and the role that she played in the formation of who you are and where you are today.
Absolutely. Well, last episode, we kind of talked about the journey from when I found out my mom was critically ill to getting on the plane with all the struggles with the emergency visa and then getting there, driving all night, and then seeing her in that stage and spending maybe all together 6-7 hours, not like nonstop,
right?
Because we had to go away, come back, go away, come back. And then on Wednesday, I believe somewhere, whether when she was leaving the hospital or in transit to the other hospital, or when we got to the other hospital, we don't know where, that she went on into heaven. And then began the process of taking her home. I never imagined I would actually be one of the stretcher holders to carry her into the ambulance out of the hospital. And all these people are watching me. I'm like, this is so surreal. Somebody needs to video
this. It's like an out-of-body experience almost.
Is this really happening?
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'll carry her. So I'm holding one of the other brothers, holding somebody else, and one of the hospital attendants is holding the fourth handle and put her in the ambulance, taking her home because over there, no funeral homes.
Right.
So this is, you take her home, bathe the body, prepare the body for viewing, and all that is done like that. And so when we put the body inside that ambulance, which is which is not a medical ambulance, it's more like ambulance to carry bodies wherever they need to go. And so like, who's going to ride? So I'm like, I'll ride. And so you can ride up front or you can sit in the back. I said, I'm sitting in the back. Mm. So I sat in the back with my mom's body. Mm. And again, I was like, this is surreal. This is a dream. And it just, I thought about it as we were driving down this road. Some of the things were familiar, then some of the new roads that this guy took us down. I was thinking, this is my mom. Mm-hmm. She brought me home from the hospital, and here I'm taking her home from the hospital.
Wow.
To an unknown place.
Yeah.
And so it was very touching. It was very, in a sense, traumatic. Mm-hmm. But not a bad trauma. It was just hit me in the face. This is real life. And it was just, I did get emotional a couple of times, but I was like, no, I'm not going to get into, not going to start thinking. You know, when you start thinking, which is part of grief, but then you almost overthink to make yourself cry. I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take it as, this is her body. Mm-hmm. One day this will come back to life. Remember, this is not some ethereal body that's coming. This is the same body that's going to come back to life, that's albeit glorified. Remember, we had a series of messages on that. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, at one point I had to put her hand, kind of brace it a little bit because, you know, the jerks and the motions of the ambulance, I had to do that. I was like, wow, I'm touching a body that no longer has life in it,
right?
But it will one day come to life.
Yeah. Will one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think about that too. Like, how many people in India truly have that hope?
Yeah. You know? No, they don't. Yeah. I mean, many have a very unbiblical concept, unreal concept. I mean, they talk about, not everybody does, but many talk about the, what do you call it? The circle of life or reincarnation, things like that. And no, there's no reincarnation. We don't get to do life again.
Yeah. I think that's the thing is, like, as I'm hearing this story, I'm trying to contextualize it for myself. Because with us, it is like you go to the funeral and you're at the graveside and you say, well, you know, one day we're going to see her again. She's coming back. And you're like, yeah, I know it. I know it. But over there, it's like, what are you talking
about? No, he's done.
Yeah.
It's done. Or, you know, you go through the circle of life or go through reincarnations until you're one with the Brahma. You're gone. Mm-hmm. You're just merged into this oneness.
Wow.
And here, I didn't have that problem. I know for a fact, I have a solid assurance that she's okay.
That's right.
The immaterial part of her is with our Savior, Jesus Christ, is in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Is with her loved ones in Christ, is with her mom and her dad, her mom, Rebecca Franklin, her dad, Thomas Franklin, and of course, my dad. Mm-hmm. She's with them.
That's right.
but we have to go through this process now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we got to the home. Again, I'm one of the ones holding the stretcher, bringing her in, and my sister's standing at the door, and she starts crying. And I told her, I said, it'll be okay, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
I said, you can cry, grieve all you want to. Just because I'm not crying doesn't mean you can't.
Yeah,
you keep crying. And they brought her later on the bed, and some of the ladies came to help with the body and all that. But anyways, it was tough. And then that day, about three families from the church came and they sat up all night.
Wow.
That's what they do. Like, we used to do that here.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? In America, in the West, you know, they would have a wake. Mm-hmm. But this was the wake. So I sat there until like 11:30, 12, 1. And then they told me, why don't you go to bed? Why don't you rest? We're sitting up so you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went to, they sat, talked with each other. The ladies did. And the men sort of rested a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister rested a little bit. By 6:30, my alarm went off. So I slept maybe 2 hours at night.
Wow.
I mean, how can you sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's difficult.
I love the picture that you've been painting of this family and these people who have come alongside and who are, we're staying up so you don't have to. Why don't you go rest? Mm-hmm. Why don't you, I mean, just these people who came alongside to support and care and just be there. I mean, right. just to help you and your sister walk through
That's right.
difficult moments.
It's fun to think of places like that in like the Bollywood type where it's really colorful and there's the bright music and there's the dancing and there's the, and I'm sure all that plays there, but without Christ, it's a very dark,
it's place. Empty.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hopeless.
Yeah.
It's very dark. It's dismal. Yeah. It's sorrowful.
Mm.
I don't know how many more adjectives I can add to that. It's painful mm-hmm. to watch how people grieve. You know, Paul talks about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. I was in deep sorrow,
yeah,
but not as those who have no hope.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's right.
So next morning I woke up and 2 hours of sleep, got ready, people left so we can have some privacy. And I'm walking through the house and there's mom's, they have this thing, which is air conditioned in which they put the body.
Mm.
And there's my sister getting ready and here I am and there's mom's body. I'm like, this, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is it. Mm. So then about 9 o'clock, the people came ready to take the body to the church. Churchyard is where they do some kind of a funeral service,
right.
Say a few words. And so I'm in my room getting some words together. I was not going to speak for long, maybe 5-7 minutes. So I'm kind of getting some scriptures together, some thoughts together. I wear my Apple Watch. All of a sudden it comes up. Heart rate is critical.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm like, huh? What? So I just click it and move on. I think maybe it was just something crazy because I don't feel any different. I'm, you know, of course that's happening. And here I am getting my stuff ready, calculating or calibrating or whatever it says. It's going to check my heartbeat again. 124.
But you didn't feel?
No. And I'm over there doing this stuff. 127, calculating. And I'm like, am I going to have a heart attack here? See, what had happened was, what happens to us is when we're in a situation like that, we don't realize what stress can do.
Yeah,
already true. I'm operating on heavy stress from the week,
right.
Then the travel, then sleeplessness, and then death,
mm-hmm.
and then riding in that. All of this, I'm thinking I'm good. Mm-hmm. Many times we think we're good. No problem. I'm good. I can take this on.
Yeah.
But my body is telling me something completely different. So up here, I'm like, okay, I'm fine. I'm like, this is calculating 129. Yeah. I said, okay, I need to let somebody else know. So one of the sister's mm-hmm. husband mm-hmm. works in the medical field. The same guy who took me to get the second opinion was there the whole time. I said to him, I said, look, I don't know what's happening,
mm-hmm.
but my heart rate is jumping up.
Yeah.
He said, really? I said, yes. I said, keep an eye on me.
Yeah.
He said, if you start feeling uneasy, if you start feeling, you immediately tell me.
Yeah.
So in a moment of pull myself up and do this funeral and do this. Now I'm concerned about myself. I'm going, yeah. I don't know. So I first took that watch off. I was like, I know more calibrating.
Yeah, no.
I can't have you beeping at me the entire time.
I don't want to do that. I think you're driving up my
blood pressure. See the number, I'll be all right for at least
so
for
I
now.
I actually took it off, put it in my pocket. And then I told another brother, I said, look, just keep an eye on me. Just be near me just in case. I said, I don't want to pull a quick one there, a fast one. Please. Be there. He said, no problem. I'll be right there. He was right there the whole time.
Yeah.
And time to time, he'd look at me and I was like, I'm okay. And so we got to the church, did the little service. I spoke a few words and we headed to the graveyard and spoke there as well, just for a few minutes. And it was not a lot of people, but a lot of people we knew were there.
That's awesome.
So it was a good service.
Yeah.
So I was very grateful. Once the funeral service was done, it was almost a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I put on my watch at that time and it was like 89. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I said, okay.
Well, you got to
think. Back in the normal realm.
But what day of the week was the funeral?
It was on Wednesday.
Yeah, that was almost.
I'm sorry. Wait. It was on Thursday.
Yeah, that's almost. That was a solid week and 2 days of nothing but pressure.
Yeah.
So now once the funeral is over, it's like, well.
Yeah.
Now you can afford to breathe.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
So that was my trip.
Yeah.
And then the next day, actually, we had to go back to the graveyard, you know, the third day of the since the funeral, so all that stuff. And day after, I told my sister, one of the brothers said, hey, we have a car here. If you want to go somewhere just to get away for a day, we have a driver, just do it. So I asked my sister, I said, what do you think if we go to the Ajanta caves?
Mm-hmm.
These were caves carved into this horseshoe-shaped mountain, 200 BC to 200 AD. And then again in the 4th century AD, these Buddhist monks carved these massive halls and stupas and statues and everything inside this horseshoe wall, mountain in the Deccan Plateau. Like, imagine Mount Rushmore, but just the way the insides of the caves, imagine Mount Rushmore, but about 100 times more.
Wow. Yeah,
it's incredible. We talked about them on the show before. I think you've mentioned them in your sermons as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, knowing that it's all carved out of stone, like it's
astonishing. I mean, just looking at it, it's breathtaking.
Yeah. So we got away just to give our minds and our bodies some rest. And it was a great day. The whole day spent doing that was a blessing. But we talked about mom.
Yeah.
We talked about her life and her legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Mom came from a Christian home. Her mom and dad, Thomas and Rebecca Franklin, raised her in a good Christian home. My grandfather, Thomas Franklin, was in the railways.
Mm-hmm.
And we found some certificates that Libna gave to me of his commendations and things like that. I brought them back with me here.
Nice.
Because I'm working on a book on my dad's biography and my mom's story as well. So she grew up in a very, not a wealthy home, but a very upper middle class home.
Mm-hmm.
So had all the amenities of life, had servants in the home, taking care of the garden, the dishes, the clothes, whatever they needed, it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad came to that church. Remember, my grandfather sent in for a preacher to come, a pastor to come to be their pastor. My dad was the one who sacrificed, right? He instead of going to the big church, he came to this little church in Busawal. And that's where my mom and dad met. And I believe it was after they were married. I may be wrong. Maybe before they got married. But he led her to the Lord.
That's incredible.
She was not as spiritually minded.
Mm.
She was in a Christian home, you can say.
Sure.
But not as spiritually minded. My dad led her to the Lord.
Mm. Yeah.
And they got married. And then after that, her family moved away back to their hometown, like her mom and dad. And her father, Thomas Franklin, actually didn't want my mom to marry my dad.
Really?
Because he knew what a preacher's family can be, you know, how hard it is financially and socially and all of that. So he actually said no to my dad when he asked.
Yikes. Oops.
He's like, no.
Oops.
I don't want my daughter to go through that. Yikes. And then my grandmother put pressure on my grandfather to say yes.
Mm.
And he finally did. And this is going back in the early 60s.
That's incredible.
So different world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they agreed. And so this girl who grew up in a bungalow, right? This was a railway bungalow with servants all around, moved into this little tiny apartment with this Muslim convert with one room. And it was pretty nasty. My dad talks about it in his testimony. Yeah. So going from this bungalow to this hutment, almost what it looked like.
Wow.
That's not fun.
Yeah, I can imagine.
She's like, I really love you, buddy. I really like it.
Yeah,
wow.
I'm really making a sacrifice for you. We've never met. We never got the chance to meet either of your parents in person. But at least with your dad, we saw videos of him. We saw him preaching.
Yeah.
I listened to, you know, you were able to go back and film with him, get his testimony.
Yeah.
And so we were able to see, at least somewhat see his personality come through in those videos and his preaching. What was your mom like?
My mom was a very, very intelligent woman.
Mm.
Very intelligent. She had her bachelor's. She had her master's in education. She went into the teaching line.
Mm-hmm.
She retired as a headmistress of a public school, which had two locations.
Mm-hmm.
One was in the downtown area. One was in the outskirts. And she was managing both schools. So she had to go between them. There was like a car or jeep that they had that she had. I mean, that's my mom.
Yeah.
But growing up, she was just mom.
Mm-hmm.
And very intelligent woman, very sharp. Like my dad would be like, okay, whatever. My mom, what was that again? I mean, she would pick up on things. Sometimes I get that and I'm like, oh. that's how she was. Very, how do I say it? Spiritually minded person.
Mm-hmm.
Very prayerful. She would pray every night. That was the last thing she did usually because she would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to be able to leave for school by 6:30 in the morning.
Wow.
To be at school by 7. So morning devotions were impossible. So she would do in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last thing she would do, usually starting at like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And then she would start dozing off.
And during her devotions?
There were devotions. And then, but if you wake her up, it was bad news.
Really?
She would get upset. She got upset with my dad many, many times, upset with me, because my dad would say, why don't you go to bed? This is the only time of the day I get to do my devotions, and you always disturb me. If we kids did that, she would, let us have it.
It was bad news.
There's a video I saw that you brought home from India one time, years and years and years ago, you brought the video, but I saw it recently where your dad had a hat on and you were filming your dad. I don't know what year this must have been. Your kids were really small.
It's 2000. This is 2000.
Yes, 23 years ago.
Yeah.
But your dad had a hat on and he just turned it backwards. And for some reason, he thought it was the funniest thing ever. He was like, I'm going to try to find the video. I might can put it in here. I don't know.
Yeah, that's funny. That's pretty normal.
The joy on his face, but like, yeah, my hat's backwards. And your mom, like, why?
Why?
Why, Paul? Why would you do this?
She always called him pastor, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, she always called him. Because he was her pastor.
Yeah.
So always started that way for a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
So when they got married, it didn't change to Paul.
It was never changed.
Pastor.
He was pastor.
Yeah.
Wow.
So kind of weird.
Yeah. Mystery.
Yeah. They were a team.
Mm-hmm.
They loved each other. They sacrificed on many levels. They sacrificed for us kids. Many times my dad could have moved somewhere else, but my mom and dad would often talk about the benefits in living there in a small town. When I say small town, it's a couple hundred thousand people.
Mm-hmm.
But living in a small town in a going to that private school, Christian Catholic school, where I got some very rigorous training, that was a big reason they didn't want to move.
Mm-hmm.
And then just being able to inculcate in us Christian values, they felt like this is the place, and not moving to Bombay or Pune or some Calcutta, because he got calls from there to be their pastor.
Mm-hmm.
He turned them down. Every time it's like, no, we're good here.
Nicole told me that your mom was extremely quick-witted, very, very clever, like in her humor.
Yeah.
Really, really kind of witty.
She knew how to call out people who were posers or trying to pretend something. Like if somebody started talking in lofty terms about God and spiritual, and they were really not that, my mom would start making faces there. Calling people out, it was not a problem for her.
Yeah.
And, but very strong-willed, very wise. Mm-hmm. Let me just say this. The concepts of tithing, sitting down and talking to me and saying, son, no matter how old you get, always tithe, always give to the Lord. Tithes and offerings go above and beyond. And so growing up, I was always in that mindset to do that. Always keep God first. Mm-hmm. Don't let anything or anyone come before your relationship with Christ. And she led me to the Lord at 4 years of age. It was my mom.
Yeah.
She taught me English. She took care of me physically. Like, there was a time, kind of funny story, where, you know, brushing your teeth, there was this powder that came out. Mm-hmm. And everybody was brushing with that powder. Oh, our teeth are looking white as snow. What I didn't realize is those teeth were being filed down. Mm.
So, yes, you told me this story. Yeah. Yes.
Vico Vajradanti. So they were, and once my mom found out, she's like, oh no. She immediately stopped that. And then she brushed my teeth with her finger for a good year and a half just to reposition my teeth. Mm. So I never had braces.
Wow.
Wow.
She would do things like, and highly educated, so they would research and make sure everything was right. And so things like that they did for me that I will never forget.
Incredible.
I was being bullied at one time. They came in. My mom did not rest until that was taken care of. It was a teacher who was doing that, actually.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah. So I couldn't ask for a better mom. Mm-hmm. She loved all of her kids. Like Libna, when my sister was being born, she had fluid in her lungs. My mom had fluid in her lungs. And so had to be admitted in the hospital. Long story short, when it came time to drain the fluid, the doctors told my mom and dad that if we put you under anesthesia, it's not going to be good for the baby. Already, that hospital in this rural town has flashed you enough with x-rays that we don't even know what's happening.
Right.
So we're not even sure if the baby is just a mass or is a baby. Mm. But now, if we put anesthesia, she will die. But hey, we'll do whatever you say. So my mom let them drill from her side without any pain medication.
Oh,
wow.
Now, I don't know about you, but I don't even like shots.
No, not at all. I don't even like to get my booster shot.
Yeah.
So to be cut open and drilled and put a tube through you while you're wide awake, I don't know. That's a whole different caliber of woman. And how they say, they don't make them like that anymore.
No, absolutely.
That's exactly
not.
Right.
That's my mom.
Wow.
And you know my sister, she's doing fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's how far she was willing to go. Always willing to help us, take care of us, sacrifice for the church, whatever need done, sweep the church. If the sweeper hasn't come or the cleaners haven't come, she'd be the one doing it. Just so much. I'm above and beyond grateful for this person that I know as my mom.
Amen.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing your mom with us. What a special time to, you know, get to hear you and get to know her a little bit through your eyes. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. And don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that Donate Now button, and join with the Clearview Today Show family in impacting the nations with the gospel of Jesus. We love you guys. We'll see you next time on Clearview Today.